Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 52, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for Friday, October 12th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I don't usually do this less. I'm Jack or O'Brien, but I'm both right now. Got me talking about Zeitgeist. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Ooh, Miles, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, Miles, things will get zighter. Some gray, yeah, we'll get it together and we'll get it all done. Some gray when your head is much zighter.
And that is from Hannah Soltis, coming through with that AKA. Hannah, good
she
to good. Have you here.
Good she to have good. You here.
Thank you for that AKA.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined by Pop Culture Collaborative's senior fellow on Comedy for Social Change. She's also a hilarious comedian and writer and co-host of the award-winning podcast Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, Zara Norbakhsh.
Zara, I don't know words or lyrics.
Ooh, when you said I thought you were doing Ray J, wait a minute. Anyway, that's a deep cut from the early 2000s. Oh, wait, what Pop Culture Collaborative's senior fellow on Comedy for Social Change?
Yeah.
You are probably by far the most esteemed guest we've had with that title.
I agree.
What is the Pop Culture Collaborative, if I may ask?
The Pop Culture Collaborative works at the intersection of activism and Hollywood, specifically.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And, they're changing the game.
Okay, okay.
What's an example? Like, do you guys write articles? What do you do?
So I am a fellow, which means that I get money to do things like change the field of comedy.
Oh, nice.
By March.
By appearing.
By March. By March. If it's not it, you're fucking fired.
That's it. I'm out.
Yeah, money gone.
And it's by appearing on shitty second-rate podcasts and
like ours.
Encouraging them to do better.
This
is that
was
right?
The first step. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All
step
right.
One, go on the days, I guess.
And there are multiple fellows working on multiple projects. For example, one of our fellows, May El-Hassan, posted yesterday an incredible report on 100 years of Muslim representation in Hollywood.
Amazing.
Wow.
Which nobody...
All good, right?
Nothing.
Yeah. Just all positive
stuff. It was a celebration.
Stuff. Oh, my God. Yeah. Just celebration after right. celebration of Allahu Akbar after Allahu Akbar. And I think they also worked with some of the like moving parts and pieces and organizations that brought the activists working on the Me Too movement to the Golden Globes with the actresses that were nominated. Amazing. There were a lot of organizations that were involved, and I think they were somehow a part of that coordination.
Damn. We ain't doing shit, Jack.
I know.
You guys have an incredibly important podcast that is the first stop to my quest.
For you changing comedy, like, how do you look at that in terms of your fellowship? How are you approaching that exactly?
There are a lot of parts and pieces that I have to like take into account, right? But one of the things that I'm focusing on is that like stand-up comedy has no genre and no rubric. Uh-huh. We have like set up punchline and that's it.
Right.
But it's actually like building context, establishing context, generating anticipation, delivering a surprise,
right,
and leaving a lingering impact. Like there's so many parts and pieces that nobody ever thinks about that actually makes it easier to craft a joke.
Sure.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have like, you know, reviews of comedy that are like, that was or wasn't funny.
Right.
Right. Which like we never would do with a book. You would never say like, that was a good book.
It is good or bad.
End of New York Times review.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Book, good. Right. End. Thank you for the byline.
My favorite genre of comedy is, have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
That's a good genre.
You guys heard about this?
This is why you guys are my first stop. You see this input?
Yeah. Well, have you seen this?
have you heard about this one? All right. We're going to get to know you even better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about. We're going to start off with a good old-fashioned Google trend search, just checking out what the internet's hive mind is thinking and asking about right now. We're going to talk about that horrifying meeting, I guess you would call it, press appearance by Kanye in the Oval Office. We're going to talk about the Georgia governor's race and just how that's totally on the up and up. That was sarcasm. We're going to talk about Trump's call-in to Fox and Friends, Melania doubling down on her title of Queen of Hot Takes, and more. But first, Zara, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay, this is a really unfair question to ask in the morning.
I know. Yeah. It's what we do.
It's what we do, though, you know.
Romantic porn.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically.
So that was something from last night? And that's why you're saying, okay, got it.
And so to find porn, you just Google it. You don't go to Pornhub or something and go, romantic.
Okay, you porn was down yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so was Xvideos.
Also, as a part of Xvideos, I don't even know about Xvideos. See, guys have this, like,
you don't like it. Pornhub, I like because they do stuff with their data. They tell the world about what's going on through porn searches.
Oh, that's useful.
Wait, with romantic porn, that's like stuff where people, like, kiss and you believe that these are people in love rather than, like, some bizarre situation involving someone doing a pizza delivery or something.
I would be totally down with a pizza delivery. Here's the thing. Oh, and I have to say this because, like, I'm in activist land. Like, YouPorn doesn't pay equitably. I feel like that's implied.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like to stream the content you're saying?
There is, like, equitable paying porn out there that, like, does actually do a good job by sex workers.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Where do you find that?
You'd have to subscribe to the site, right? Isn't that part of the thing? Or is it like a Spotify model where they're giving people a cut based on...
All of these things stand between me and orgasm, and I'm still working on being a better citizen of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I have these answers. But, okay, I have to filter with romantic porn just so that I can watch something that treats women well.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't even like the kissing all that much. Like, I usually fast forward past that.
Right.
But, like, I also don't like to see, like, women, like, hurt.
Right.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, kills my mood a little bit. And also, like, you know, I'm not into the rougher stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am 38. The gel in my spine is... you know, disappearing slowly.
Is that what happens?
It is. It's a thing. And then
that
when
would explain a lot about how I've been feeling lately.
See?
Also 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you take steps Do you feel the impact?
Oh, yeah.
Like hit from your heel.
You can
all
just
the way
hear
up
the grinding
to your neck.
Yeah.
Oh my
the
god.
The grinding of my vertebrae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like being thrown around in a room, I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, right.
You're like someone like, can I put your feet up?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, can I give you foot rub while I go down on you?
Romantic porn.
Yeah.
That's romantic porn.
Yeah.
I like it. I only like porn where it's just the kissing and then the camera moves up to the, you know, window and there's slow dissolve to them in bed afterwards, just having a cigarette. That's my kind of porn.
Like ABC, like yeah, NYPD Blue. Well, actually, yeah. NYPD Blue has some wild scenes.
Haze code era, 1950s sex scenes.
Oh, that was like the rules?
Yeah, you could kiss, closed mouth kiss,
pan up,
tight closed lips, and like moving your head around, and then pan up to the,
smoking,
you know,
a
to a nice set of curtains.
Oh, you
and
guys
then
needed
slow
to watch.
Dissolve.
You needed to watch way more soap operas.
Oh, do they do that too?
It was like softcore, practically.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Do they get high and heavy, or is it transition stuff? Like, are you seeing a little bit of action? Like some.
I mean, in comparison to a blustery window,
yeah, for sure, yeah.
There's a lot more going on. I don't. General Hospital was pretty hot. I don't know.
Okay.
I was more hot of and heavy.
Young and the Restless person.
The amount of sex, according to the worlds of fiction, that is happening in hospitals is just so unsettling.
Yeah.
All right. What's something that's overrated?
Any and all investigations or news coverage about this administration in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge smokescreen.
Okay.
Explain. That's
so are you talking Mueller investigation?
All of it.
I guess that is an investigation.
Like,
the Mueller investigation.
Let's look at how much time we spent on Kavanaugh, for one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The entire time, it was very clear to me, and I think many people, that it mattered not at all.
Because he was innocent, right?
This is going to be a rough show.
Dude just like, here. Wait, what are you saying about Brett?
What are you saying about Brett, dude?
He likes beer.
Brett?
You mean that it was a foregone conclusion that he would be confirmed? Or that?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean,
they even slipped him in. There were people who were planning on, you know, direct action protests to, like, get in the way of traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know, to filibuster at traffic, basically. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter a lot. They practically helicoptered him into the desk.
Yeah.
And then because there was an investigation, they were like, well, see, this is what's making the voters hate us.
That's a one semantic thing. It was a background check.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what the FBI was also, when they were trying to defend themselves, they're like, yes, the White House asked us to continue our background check, not to investigate, because if that was a real, like, criminal investigation, it would have maybe done more.
But also, like, the FBI does have the ability to say, this is complete bullshit.
But I think, yeah, and
they don't have to walk around like middle management in the show 24. You right. know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why it's not working out. And then Jack Bauer's like, give me back my daughter. Like,
right.
I mean, it doesn't work that way, but it does when it's necessary to generate buzz and a smokescreen.
Right, sure.
Get Bauer out of there. Throw him in prison. That was my impression of 24 middle management.
Have you seen 24?
Yeah. They just never believed in him. Every time he would get himself into a situation, they would always just be like, that's it, Bauer, you're fired. Get back here so you can give me your badge.
I never really watched the show. Was he on heroin at some point?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
So he was held captive by, I think it was the Chinese, actually, and they hooked him on heroin.
Wow. Just to like kind of be like, yo, you're too effective.
That whole country... Just hooking Jack Bauer on
heroin.
Always getting guys
Come
named
on.
Jack yeah. hooked on heroin. And that's my excuse. What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Everything you need to know about destabilization.
Okay. So
go on.
Explain.
Talk that talk.
We are in destabilization.
Mm-hmm.
Every Iranian knows what I'm talking about right now because we go through it like every 2 years.
Okay.
That the country's doing well. And then all of a sudden it's a circus
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows why. Oh, you know, people with foreign influence have an investment in your country failing.
Right.
And that's what's happening to us right now. And like all of the things that we say, we're like, I never thought blank would happen. I never thought blank would happen. I never thought. It's like government doesn't matter. That is destabilization. And it's meant, the reason why it makes me so angry that like more people aren't talking about this is that the whole point of destabilization is that it's polarizing, that it makes you hate government. It makes you want to see your government fall. And it also feels like a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is what it feels like right now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the whole point is like it's the oldest
trick in the book.
Yeah, to make
trick in the scroll.
Pretty much. So that a country, kingdom, empire does itself in. So when the foreign invasion comes, I mean, I don't want to sound xenophobic. Like, what's a foreign invasion?
Right.
Amazon, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Right. Finally having its win.
Right.
The job has largely been done for them.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that America is going through destabilization? Or...
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody should know more about destabilization.
Okay.
Right. Where can you point people to learn more about this?
Just learn more about Iran.
Yeah.
I mean, destabilization is very easy to look up.
Mm-hmm.
Google it. And then all of a sudden, it will start to feel like it's talking about your life.
Right.
Mm.
And just start there. Like,
okay.
This is the one place where I would be like, maybe start with Wikipedia. Like, I wouldn't for literally anything else.
Right, right.
Including prime numbers. But about destabilization, start with Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's just a good segue to the...
To your myth?
To my myth.
Yes. How'd you know I was going to ask about a myth? That's crazy. What
like
is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
All right, Iran is not your enemy. Iran is your only hope.
Ooh.
Wow.
Iran
okay.
is the Obi-Wan.
I was just about mm-hmm. to say that.
I don't really know anything about foreign policy, but I am Iranian.
Or Star Wars.
Or Star Wars, yeah. I'm Iranian. I have an investment. No, the reason why I say that is because it's very interesting to me how, like, the Middle East is playing out in all of this. Number one, that we don't hear about the Middle East anymore. Have you guys noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened to ISIS?
Right.
ISIS.
ISIS. Oh, there's Anna's ISIS drop. That's how much ISIS is talked about.
ISIS just dropped.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think there was, like, one line in the news at one point that was like, and we solved it.
Right, yeah. As if they're like, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
It just moved on.
Yeah.
But there's, like, been multiple reports about Saudi Arabia's support of ISIS and Vladimir Putin's support of ISIS. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that, like, what we would watch was destabilization in the Middle East.
Right.
And so it's interesting to me that now it's all about, like, what does Saudi Arabia have a hold on? Mm-hmm. Which is like, whoa, that's a shift.
Right.
Just giving it all to a kingdom.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just putting it out there, Iran.
Yeah.
And be friends with Iran. It's
right.
Good. It's the only other country there that's like holding the opposition.
Yeah, right.
Opposition is good. Also, because I notice what fans everybody is of Handmaiden's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Iran 1980. Like, if you're into it.
Right.
Just go check out the real deal.
Check
there were
the
real
thing.
Cloaks, real bonnets.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also really unsettling and somewhat entertaining as an Iranian to like watch Kavanaugh play out. Because the election of the supreme leaders in Iran, you know, they're extraordinarily right-wing politic when it came to anything related to women, you know, and watching that take hold despite the populace's desires, you know, like 90% of Iran voted for reform.
Right.
And yet, you know, so just, you know, just putting some Iran plugs out there while
it's good.
Listening.
And when we have Nikki Haley doing like cool book reports pointing at like things, I'm like, that's from Iran, so we have to go to war now. And you have people like John Bolton who are like, their singular focus is try to vilify them by any means possible.
Oh my God, when you said book report, I actually, my esteem went up. There's a kind of report, not
just
like
a
tweet.
Getting in front of the class type thing. Well, remember like when they brought up that missile piece and they're like, oh yeah, you see right there, even though it looks like in my handwriting it says made in Iran. So I think this is enough evidence for us to start looking that way. But yeah,
we've talked before on the show about how Margaret Atwood, before writing The Handmaid's Tale, just researched history of a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
It's like she like stole specific, I think she said all of the different details. It's just sort of a collage of different details from history of other countries.
She's ripping off history, man.
Yeah. But yeah, and Iran, like look at pictures of Iran in the 70s. I think people would be surprised to see like how completely things changed there.
A 100% shift.
Yeah.
Or just knowing about like Mossadegh and how, you know, we were like, hi, we're here to pretend that you don't want this person anymore.
Right.
You know?
Already you're entering into territory I don't actually know about. I just know
people. Of course. No. And I think it's
to
important
be
to know.
Pro Iran and romantic.
But the United States had a hand in like, destabilizing
Mossadegh
Iran.
Mossadegh is like, basic staple.
Iran 101, guys.
But, you know, I have this, like, unique relationship with my history where growing up in the 80s as an Iranian, like, your parents did not want you to know anything about politics.
Sure.
Because my teachers would ask me, like, at recess when I was, like, in kindergarten, first grade, third grade, fifth grade.
Right.
Like, what do you think of Khomeini?
Do you know Khomeini?
Right. Right.
I'd be like, this is recess. Is this extra credit?
You're like, I'm sorry. I have glue all over my
hands. Can I eat
Can
it
I
first?
Eat?
Yes. All right, let's check in with the Google Trend search real quick. Hurricane Michael is still out here. The pictures are coming in from a Mexico beach in Florida, which is where the hurricane made landfall, and the photographs are just horrifying. It looks like a bomb went off. Selena Gomez is recovering in a mental hospital. And the story of how the breakdown came about is something that I've heard about more recently, and I'm wondering if there's an actual, maybe the Zeitgang can tell us about this, but if this is like an actual, like there's a medical diagnosis for this. So apparently she was, you know, hospitalized for lupus. She has all sorts of health issues from lupus, and she got a bad blood test result, and they were like, you're gonna have to stay, and that caused her to like have sort of a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of that happening to people where it's like, you just want to get out of the hospital. You're so tired of being in the hospital.
Sure.
The hospital is a terrible place to be, and you start to feel like you're a prisoner there. But the test results are, you know, nonetheless saying that it's unsafe for you to leave, so they can't let you leave. And
right.
Yeah. So anyways, she then kind of had an emotional breakdown and is now at a mental hospital, which, good for her. There are other celebrities who are not getting the mental health treatment that they need, as we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, so she is trending, and, you know, all the stories seem to be her friends and family are like doing the right thing and supporting her and asking for privacy. So,
wow, who'd have thought?
Yeah.
She has a support system around her. A celebrity with some problems has a support system around them and not a circus around them.
She's got a great support system. One of her best friends gave her her kidney.
That's right.
Yo, I want Selena Gomez's friends. Jamie Lee Curtis is trending, and I had to look into this. Why is she trending?
Something wrong with Activia yogurt?
No, it turns out Fox News was trying to get a thing going. Yesterday they quote, Jamie Lee Curtis wields firearm in new Halloween movie despite advocating for gun control.
Okay. What the fuck? Do you know what a fucking movie is?
This set off a bunch of really great tweets. Like Jason Gilbert tweeted, Tim Allen murders Santa Claus in 1994 movie despite advocating for celebration of Christmas. And just all sorts of other.
Yeah,
like, you know, Fox News presents no news despite being a news organization.
Right, exactly. Wow. Well, you know, all that culture war shit, like, they really have to find a thing to be like, I can't believe she advocated for gun control. And then they're like, how can we get her back? Oh, you're holding a gun in a movie?
I think that Fox News just has the take of just like the worst neighbor on the block always.
Right.
Just the neighbor that like no matter what, even if it doesn't make sense to say, they have to say it in that tone.
Right, right.
Of like,
well, right.
Yeah. Should you really be chemically watering your lawn? I mean, we are all doing it.
Right. But should we?
Yeah, there's this sort of disingenuous cultural commentary coming from the right and from Fox News lately. So during the Kavanaugh hearing, Molly Ringwald was like, yeah, there was some really fucked up stuff in some of my movies. Like in one of the movies, I think it's Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles, drunk girl is given to somebody as like a, here, have fun with her. Mm-hmm. And it's just like considered cool.
Right.
And she was like, that in retrospect, not all right. And Fox News was like, oh, come on. What? People can't do like bad stuff in movies? What? So now all movies are just going to have to be people sitting around and peacefully discussing their problems? It's just like,
I feel like all of Fox News should just be that impression.
Oh,
like,
come on. Right.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Like, now it matters how the populace votes.
Right. Right.
Oh, come on. Oh.
Now we care about racism?
Right.
Oh, come on. Wow. Oh, now, like, you care about who's your Supreme Court justice at all? Like, you need a bet. Come on. Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Oh, come on. But anyways.
Come on.
Do we have to explain why that's stupid? That movies have points of view and characters within them like, no. are not do, do
you
not
even
represent
explaining
the
this out loud
truth.
Is making me die inside.
It's very frustrating.
I also think it's funny, like, this notion that, like, Molly Ringwald and Jamie Lee Curtis are, like, in charge of movie.
Yes.
Right.
You know, right. I'm like, hello, I am sitting in a chair. Yeah.
It is literally my understanding of movies when I was, like, four. Like, when I first saw it, and I was like, I don't like him because he's mean. Yeah. It's like, yo, like that. But you guys are grown-ups who are actually covering the culture for a large portion of Americans. So try harder, Fox News. And Kanye is also trending, and that is, of course, who I was referring to when I said that some celebrities need people around them to look out for them, because he was seriously on some...
It was
a
rant.
Dude on the corner with a cardboard sign shit.
Well, like, it was just sad. You know, like, he went to the White House to have lunch with the president, and there was an agenda where they would talk things about, you know, record high black employment and, you know, curbing violence in Chicago and other
Kanye talking?
Of course. And it was like Jim Brown was next to him. And, I mean, we were talking about posting clips of it, but, like, it's just so clearly somebody who is just – all of his thoughts are disjointed. He never at one point really offers a solution or like a coherent or actionable point or about anything.
Are you talking about the president or Kanye?
Sadly, no.
And the president for his entire administration and Kanye for this particular conversation.
He just went
Seems
10
like a
minutes.
Good fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was odd. At moments, Trump, you could tell he seemed a little like he wasn't, it wasn't even making sense to him. And he would like, at one point, I remember he looked at the other reporters like smiling like, wow, okay. Yeah. But yeah, again, this is like, there was nothing about what he said that made any real point. It was just, I don't know, it just felt bad to watch. And it was so, it was just difficult to watch.
Honestly. Can I have like a destabilization soundbite for every time I see it? Just, is that circus? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yours kind of sounded like a jazzy, like soft shoe with jazz hands involved.
Is that romantic porn?
Yeah, right, right. So, how is this destabilization? Just explain it to the listener.
You know, having people talk about whole pieces of the fabric of our society and its construct who are rappers,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, now he's not even
standing next to the president, because also, you know, the representation of African Americans by this administration has been so good.
Right. Right. Yes.
And yeah, you bring him in. And it's odd, too, because Trump seems to think he's like, oh, yeah, it's great for me and the African American voters to understand what I'm trying to do. And it's like, my man, he's not moving the needle for you with African American voters at all. Right. If anything, you have your people, and that's not really moving. But I think for him to think that somehow, I don't know what Trump thinks he's getting out of bringing him in. I think it clearly is. He's like, well, look, it's a black guy. He's got a MAGA hat on. I'm not racist. And I think that's like the optics of it are clearly all he's using to just sort of rationalize. Yeah, that was great. And now I'll be doing great in the midterms.
Yeah. But it's a bad look to be the guy exploiting a mentally ill person, I would just say.
Does he even know what's going on, though?
I don't know.
I mean, there are rumors that Donald Trump is going through dementia.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there are doctors who are actually like putting out pieces saying like he's displaying all of the signs.
Yeah, and his vocabulary shrinking and yeah. Even today he was on Fox and Friends. We'll talk about that later, but he couldn't even like remember the names of candidates. He was just like, yeah, there's a man. He literally said there's a man running, and you're like, oh, okay.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And as we get closer to the midterms, the upcoming election in November, more shit is coming out that is somewhat concerning. Miles, you were writing about the Georgia governor's race.
Yeah. Well, Brian Kemp, who's running against Stacey Abrams, who would be the state's first African-American governor. They're in a very tight race right now. And Brian Kemp, he's the Secretary of State for the state of Georgia right now, meaning he is the be-all, end-all when it comes to voting and voter registration and letting people vote, essentially. And now a lot of people are like, maybe you should step away from that role since you are in an election and you're at the levers of people being able to vote. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, we just got rules and people got to follow them.
Wow.
Except now we're finding out that this policy that he put forward, this exact match policy, which basically dictates that, like, if someone fills out a voter registration form and it's off by a letter, a hyphen, a fucking tilde on your name, and it doesn't match what the government has, sorry, bruh, we're gonna toss that on the pile, and we're gonna have to get back to you very soon. And the AP was reporting that there is around 53,000 registration forms that are just sitting on ice because of this law.
Probably mostly Irish people, right?
Because,
in my case, I have
Brian, you forget
I have an apostrophe. I don't forget it. I just choose not to use it sometimes because it fucks up, like, in when it's, like, going from a Word doc to something else.
Oh, no, or what about the, like, Scottish, like, Macmillan?
Right. So
which one
probably
is capitalized?
The
right.
Well, the M,
M's,
the capital M, little C, then God.
And is so this it must Mac? Be... Is it Mick? Is it...
Who knows?
Right.
But right now, they're saying that 70% of these registration forms that are being held are from Black voters.
Huh.
And who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? And, you know, Brian Kemp has not had a good history in terms of voter rights. Like, he's been sued before by voters' rights groups. He even once, Stacey Abrams had a, like, a nonprofit group that had, like, their mission was to register people of color to vote. And he launched an investigation into that group years ago. I don't know if that's, you know, to intimidate them or something like that. But, yeah, this is, like, his shit. And when you think about how close this race is, I'd hate to think that 53,000 votes could swing an election or anything like that, but it's a problem. And I think that more people need to figure out what's going on, or he needs to do something about this. But as it stands, he is doing a really good job of limiting people's ability to vote right now, especially in a very important election that's really close.
And I've never had it explained to me what being extremely careful about this ahead of an election, like, what problem do they think they're solving?
They're just raising the fucking specter of voter fraud, which is like not even a real issue, but that's
no, they're actually like causing voter fraud,
right? No, essentially.
Like, by I mean, essentially, what they're doing is
defrauding,
completely illegal,
yeah,
they're inhibiting people's right to vote. This is also where I'm going to advocate for like another section. Mm-hmm. A new segment to your podcast, just like, how close are we to becoming Iran?
Oh, nice.
We have a,
like,
meter.
Keep that meter going as you get closer to the election. Because in Iran, one of the things that happened, because destabilization, was when Ahmadinejad first won. Mm-hmm. You know, after the people had like voted unanimously for reform, they have a feminist party in Iran. There was a candidate from the feminist party in the cabinet, and then Ahmadinejad showed up and all of that evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first round of voting, it sounded a lot like Trump's aftermath, where people were like, who voted for this?
Right.
What? We think Russia's involved. And then in the second round, the Iranian media, when the votes came out, because people came out in droves, like 90% of the country votes.
Right.
They call it Black Tuesday because everybody's, you know, cloaked in black or wearing black and is out voting at the voting booths. And everyone knew it was they were getting him out. And then the camera just, as soon as the election results come in, straight up pans to a field of flowers.
Wow.
Huh. And music plays.
Oh,
and Ahmadinejad's back, and he's just magically back. So, like, we should do like a running prediction.
Yeah,
of,
we just
like,
need to know what those levels are between America and you. Like, so.
Yeah, like how full blown gaslighting are they gonna go?
Yeah, I mean, it's every election and every action of this administration, and I think the government in general in this country, we've been on that slow path from the beginning. So. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to figure out what those notches are in the meter.
Before they just go straight back to, like, it's actually not at all about the name. We really just have been racist this whole time.
Yeah, right. They're like, honestly, look, this candidate is African-American. I have a feeling a lot of people of color are going to turn out. So we are going to have to try and kneecap people of color voting. So
while they're
sorry.
Holding a crowbar, like,
yeah, they're like, what
on
are you
Fox
voting
News.
For? Right. Like, at the booth, just... they're like, no, you better, yeah, that's right, vote for Brian Kemp.
But it's so easy just to throw their ballots out. Why would you need the crowbar?
Yeah, well, that's, man, they have their underhanded ways of staying on top. But hey, well, who knows? I mean, hopefully enough people turn out that won't be an issue. But still, I think definitely, like, there are lawyers in D.C. from other voting rights groups who are like, this has to be addressed. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we can't just sit here and act like this isn't a fucking issue. But we'll see.
I mean, what is the consequence?
I don't know. Go to a Supreme Court where you can go to
see
exactly, and then and then they're gonna be like, "Hey, he's chill, dude. Brian, he aimed a gun at a kid in a campaign ad, so he's
right.
fine."
Right.
Welcome to Iran. Welcome to Iran.
Well, all of this seems somewhat confusing, but fortunately, the President of the United States called in to his favorite TV show and talked for a long time. So yeah. I'm sure he like explained all this, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made sense of the universe.
He made sense of everything. You know, he called in and basically just rambled on about how, hey, the Mueller thing, it's a witch hunt, and had to do the thing again and goes,
actually Hillary colluded with Russia to beat herself or some shit. It was wacky. The hosts were even like, okay. Because then he started talking about Jeff Sessions, and Trump was talking about, hey, maybe after midterms, maybe I'll boot old Legal Smeagol's ass to the curb and put in an attorney general who will fully just obstruct justice like I need it to be obstructed. And also, again, admitting that he was thinking about obstructing justice, but what are the consequences?
Wow.
Right? And then he said something about Devin Nunes should get the Medal of Honor.
Now, that's very confusing to me because the Medal of Honor, isn't that supposed to be a military award?
From what I understand, I've always seen that blue ribbon be put around the neck of someone in the military. But yeah, it's the highest decoration for someone in the armed forces.
And he thinks Devin Nunes should get it.
Well, yeah, he's in a different kind of army. He's in the MAGA army. So, you know what I mean? Oh. He's the colonel. He's a street corner colonel, a.k.a. Spliff Star. And he's out here trying to fuck up all kinds of investigations and breaking the law and just letting himself rot by the soul. But yeah, he said that. And then he ended really nice with one of the hosts said, can you wish my dad a happy birthday? And he did. And then they were trying to be like, all right, let's wrap this up. Because literally the guy said, okay, now go run the country.
Right.
Rather than talking to us for however long. I think it was almost an hour or something.
Right.
So, you know, he it's his favorite Collins show.
Well, Queen hot take. We had King hot take go on Fox and Friends. And Queen hot take, Melania, has doubled down.
Yeah, I think we can just play this clip. Just so you can hear the hottest fucking take of 2018.
I could say I'm the most bullied person on the world.
You think you're the most bullied person in the world?
One of them. If you really see what people are saying about me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, sure. Interesting. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if you are the most bullied person on earth. I think, yes, you've been on the receiving end of a lot of anger.
Also, you don't get to leave detention center of children in cages by known sexual abusers with a jacket that says, I don't care, do you?
Right.
And then be like, I don't understand why I'm bullied.
Why are but people that's mean bullying. To me?
Well, I think that's the whole thing is that, yeah, the right is looking at criticism of their like amoral, just shitty actions as being violent or it's bullying. When it's like, you're fucking around and we're calling you out.
Right.
That's what is going on. We're not being like, oh, Rand Paul, your fucking nose looks fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you're out here caping for Russia, and then you're like one of the few senators that didn't sign on to that letter that was like, oh, we need to actually reprimand Saudi Arabia. I don't know what's going on with Rand Paul right now. But anyway.
I feel like she should just say what it is that she wants to say, which is like, people don't know their place. I will be queen.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
do you think
for
she
sure.
wants to be queen? Do you think she likes?
Yeah,
you know, because there's so many narratives about
her husband wants to be like king with absolute power. That's the only. That's what he thought he was winning when he won the presidency.
I mean, also they both participate in pageantry,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's just funny to think like the reports of like on election night when they won, she just began sobbing.
Right. Right. And he,
I think he also was crying. Like
he was terrified, like, but then convinced himself that he could do it. And so this just makes sense of because her whole campaign has been no online bullying, and what she meant is no saying shit about me online. Uh-huh. Just keep my name out of your mouth.
Who cares if I don't want to hold my fucking husband's hand because I think he's nasty.
Right.
I don't know. You know, that's if you're the most bullied person in the world, shout out to you. I feel for you, but I think there are many other people who are in much more vulnerable situations that you could be shedding light on. But hey, put your pith hat on the table when you do your fucking interview and just look like the colonizer you want
to
be.
The only way she could have made me somewhat sympathetic to that statement is if she had then followed up with, I mean, look who I'm fucking married to. You think I don't get bullied every day? Like, that guy,
but that's not
think
bullying.
I want to have sex with him?
You're just catching heat.
Right.
You're fucking up.
Yeah. So you mentioned the little hot water that Saudi Arabia is in right now.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be hot, but
yeah, it's something. So more and more details are coming out. I mean, it's still the main detail is the bone saw, I think, is the main detail. So
yeah, the most grim detail of it all.
The murder of a Washington Post reporter.
Yes, Khashoggi. He went in, then never came out. He's not in there anymore. and people walked in with, like, a hit squad shows up with bone saws and empty luggage and boxes, and
shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they left with bone saws and boxes and luggage.
Whoa.
And the reporter is no longer in there. Like, fuck, like, intelligence intercepts, like, and all.
No, they do this shit when they want you to
right.
know.
Yeah. The laws of physics say that that dude got murdered and cut into pieces. Like, that's just the only physical explanation.
Unless they have some sort of transportation beam, right?
Right. In which case, teleporter. We should also find out about that because that would
but
be
But that's
dope.
Not the case because right. they had a forensic pathologist as part of this 15-man hit squad that came. And they're like, let me see your luggage, sir. You're here for 32 hours, and your luggage is a bone saw. Okay, welcome to Turkey.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And you guys came on private jets from Saudi Arabia? Okay, and you're leaving tonight? Yeah, it's just one of those things where now, and, you know, again, Trump was asked, they're like, have you talked to them? And he was like, you know, Jared and John Bolton talked to Mohammed bin Salman.
Right.
And, like, Mohammed bin Salman literally is like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't, that's crazy. And they're just like, they're just acting real, like, brand new about it. And then when they ask Trump, it's like, well, something should happen, right? And he's even like, I mean, it doesn't look good. He admitted that much. But then he said, but, you know, we have this deal with them, and there's a lot of money involved because we're selling them weapons, basically. And he doesn't want to fuck up this, like, $350 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia by making it hot for them, by holding them accountable.
I don't know that he actually has the power to make anything hot for them. I don't know that the actual mechanisms underneath there. I don't know that he's in charge of much when it comes to. But I wonder if we're looking at all the facts. I mean, did somebody apparate? Was there a port key?
Oh, that's a good point. Mm. Yeah, or like one of those. Yeah, like from Portal, one of the Portal
guns.
Yeah,
like maybe there was some flu powder, some evidence of flu powder on the scene.
Also, very possible. Yeah. Almost all of the terrorists who did 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, and that we were cool with that at that time, so there weren't many consequences that they saw, so I doubt that this is going to cause much problems for them. But
well, also when you have Jared Kushner, who's like the same age as Mohammed bin Salman, being like, hey, can you be in charge of talking to him? I'm sorting out the Middle East, guy who doesn't know how to foreign policy.
Right.
And you know, there was a report like earlier this year where Mohammed bin Salman was bragging. He's like, yo, I got Jared Kushner in my pocket.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck are they going to do?
Right.
And now you're seeing it. It's just super aggressive. Before, I'm sure it was fine when they were doing all their human rights violations within their own borders, and we were fine turning a blind eye to that. And even now, it's like, oh. And then Trump even said, oh, I don't think he's an American citizen. So it's like, okay. Wow. There you go. There you have it.
So, I mean, they are trying to prove a point, and the point they're trying to prove is, look what we can do without getting in trouble.
Right.
And
that seems to continue to be the point.
Yeah.
Like, hey, check out, you know, your new Supreme Court justice. Look at what we can do.
What you going to do?
What you going to do?
What you going to do?
We can reenact a Saw movie.
But
in plain
maybe
sight.
That's why Melania's like, I'm the most bullied person. Maybe like they cut out. Maybe she was like, this country, that man, this Supreme Court. And they like cut all of it out. So she's just like, it's not right.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. And it's funny when Jack, the way you had it was talking about Bob Corker coming in and him, you know, wanting to admonishing the Saudis, and Lindsey Graham suddenly finding his moral backbone again.
Mm.
And, you know, it was one of those things where it's a gesture. What will happen? Probably not much. Especially when the president is being so transparent about what his actual, you know, what the real stakes are for him, or how he looks at the whole situation.
I know. It definitely seems like one of those situations where he's saying out loud the part that people usually only think. Well, this would be bad for us financially.
Well, so. Look, we closed a huge deal. We're trying to get $110 billion up front, which I don't think we still have, or the government still has.
What do billions mean anymore? I've lost track.
I don't even know. It's bigger than millions, but.
But I don't even have an impressive gauge.
Right.
Like, you know, a gauge of impressiveness I no longer have. Like, what?
Like, what is a billion?
I think
really?
Justin Timberlake said that the transformation is a million is cool, but you know what's really cool is a billion. So,
but I'm talking like in the billion realm.
We have
like hundreds of billions, tens of billions.
Right, right.
When does it mean something? Like, I don't.
I don't know.
It all depends on if money is your god, then it means something.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But we're screwed.
I don't worship the dollar like I used to. Like I used to, you know, rap videos had me fucked up in the late 90s and early 2000s, I'll be honest here.
But I mean, it doesn't take that much money to impress Trump. There's this experiment that Spy Magazine did in the 80s where they sent all the richest people in New York checks for, like, they started at $100 and then went down to $50 and then $25 just to see how cheap the richest people in New York are and who would, like, keep cashing that check, taking the time to cash the check. And the only person who cashed the check all the way down to, like, 2 cents was Donald Trump.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a broke boy.
He just fucking, he loves that money.
He's broke, yeah.
Cash it in, cash it in.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy,
Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And a couple other things that are trending right now. Dow Jones is trending because the market continues to be unstable. It's, as super producer Nick Stump said it yesterday, it was whipsawing all over the place. So.
Did you say my favorite word, unstable?
Hey.
Yeah, there we go.
And a story that was just breaking as we recorded this is that Facebook has been removing hundreds of influential political accounts. Basically, they're being accused of doing what Russia did for the 2016 election, but in the run-up to the midterms. But they are like Americans or groups of Americans who are doing this. Uh-huh. So it gets into questions about like First Amendment law.
Okay, I have not to toot my own horn. I'm far from influential.
No, do this solo. I'll give you 8 bars and now blow that horn.
I can't get my freaking account to work.
Your Facebook account?
Yeah.
Because
it does the like bouncy boinky thing. Like, have you guys had this issue?
No, I don't really use Facebook.
Like a couple of my friends have had this issue, and now I'm wondering if it's like at all related because my Persian conspiracy brain, yeah. But also because it like I haven't been able to post.
Were you running like an account with like or moderating a group or something like that? That was.
I'm in a bunch of groups.
Yeah.
They all say radical.
Uh-oh.
Is that an issue?
Yeah.
They all say Muslim.
Uh-oh.
Is that a problem?
Nah.
Okay.
From my understanding.
I'm just going to back out of the room, though, just to be safe.
Where are you going? I just want to know.
to the bathroom to cry. wait, so they're just getting rid of American-ran like political accounts that it could be like
on the right end,
union workers for better work.
They've been doing this. Like I had a couple friends who had shows like Man Haters comedy show.
Right.
Their like page got shut down, and they had
it was
to
man hate.
Yes,
for really like
yes.
That was their...
And then I had another friend who like posted men are trash.
Oh, I remember that whole fiasco. Yeah,
it got shut down. Her account got frozen for a while.
Yeah.
Like so, it's interesting that that's one kind of politic.
Yeah. Right. And it's not like when Jamie Loftus gets death threats in a private mentor group or something.
They don't she back, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. I wonder if they're just sort of like, they're so bad at trying to figure out their problem with fake news that they're just like, just fucking sanitize the whole fucking
right.
thing. Like, they don't even have the will or the know-how to properly address their major problem on the platform that they're just like, all right, well, now you guys don't get nice things.
Right.
You don't get anything. But then that has to run into some kind of... Those are real issues. This is like an issue now, though.
Yeah.
If you're kind of trying to stifle people's ability to express their politics, even on the right or the left, if it's not like violent disinformation, I don't see what the issue is.
Right. Yeah. No,
but that's what
it has to be disinformation. I think they're accusing them of that. But then the people on the right are going to be like, well, how do you define misinformation?
Oh, wow. So they're saying, oh, so Kanye was wrong when he said the Democrats created
right.
welfare. Okay, well,
he
said
so
that.
Oh, so Jamie Lee Curtis can just have guns now.
Oh, I see.
Come on.
So our office this morning is talking about LeBron James.
LeBron.
LeBron on Wednesday had his first, or not his first
second,
appearance
yeah.
as a Laker, but it was a preseason game where he looked really good. And finally, super producer Sophie Lichterman was excited about it. She was like, I was thinking for the first time that this could be a good thing for the Lakers because she's a Kobe stan. And she is in that group of Lakers fans who think that there's like some sort of conflict between liking Kobe and liking LeBron. Just because LeBron's better than Kobe, and
well,
there's like
a sex crim.
Dissonant. Yeah, there's also that. But also, a thing we're just learning, other than that LeBron is still good at basketball, shocking Laker fans, is that he's apparently that cool dad who lets his kids drink. He said that his kids are super mature, and he was like, they drink wine.
Yeah, they're 11 and 14.
So,
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people were like, I think, took it immediately because they want to vilify him as like, these kids are drunk off wine all day.
Right.
You know, like, and I don't know if it's more like the European angle where.
Yeah,
you know,
I was going to say like, you know, every kid in France.
Right. And like, even my mom, like, you know, she traveled a lot in Europe. When I was a kid, I would be like, I want to taste your wine. She's like, yeah, whatever. You're not going to like it. And
right.
I didn't. Right. Or like drinking the foam off my dad's beer or some shit. Yeah, I wasn't like fucking twisted at 4 years old.
Dirty.
Right.
Sipping the foam off my daddy's beer. But, you know, I think I would like to know what the amounts are before we have any judgment.
Yeah.
If he's cutting it with water. That's
totally fair.
I also do wonder, like, what are the goals as a rich parent? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to be like, hey, like, this is how rich dad is. Get drunk.
Right. Maybe, you want to know how good we're doing? Get drunk. Go drive dad's car around. see if they can do anything to us. It's interesting. There are those parents who are like the cool parents who everybody drinks at their house.
That's different, though.
Right.
That's You're talking about like Saudi Arabia? Is this?
What do you mean?
Cool parents. Everybody cool parents. gets drunk at their house.
Yeah.
Well,
I think, yeah.
Everywhere else has rules, not here.
Not here. Guys, go wild, okay? I'll turn my back to everything.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah, like, that's right. Like, I don't know. Parents who are just like, I'd rather have my kids get super twisted at home.
Right. Then go out somewhere else and do it.
Like, there's an argument of, like, you know, you can demystify, like, the taboos around alcohol if early on kids realize you can responsibly drink or whatever. But, like, I don't know about the shit of, like, party at home.
How do you feel about those parents? Because, like, I always hear those parents in response to their kid. But then I always wonder what it's like for parents whose kids hang out with that kid.
Right. Yeah.
That there's a dad who's like, get drunk at my house.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I understand. I think it's just more like sort of it's the fear-based parenting where they're like, well, it's better here than if it's just some party and Woodland Hills,
right?
Which I knew people like that. I don't know. I think that's a slippery slope a little bit.
Did you guys go to high school parties? Were you those guys?
Oh yeah.
I went to high school parties.
Ragers?
Yeah. There were some ragers, and there were some. The ragers were always at the house where the parents were cool with the rager happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was wild. They were always the kickbacks were for yo, my parents had a wedding.
Yeah,
come through. You know what I mean? That was the kickback. The rager, it was like at homegirl, and I'm going to say her name, Katie Sanfilippo's house. Her mom was there. Shout out to Sean Nato, Cindy Nato. She was fucking out there being like, you guys need more, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, yo, Cindy. Like, yeah, I get that. But it, again, those kids, I don't know. I mean, not all of them ended up odd, but I think, yeah.
I know a couple of parents who were like the cool parent who let the parties happen at their house and their kid ended up in rehab, but then, you know, it's not always that way. And I know plenty of kids with really strict parents who ended up in rehab.
Right.
These are like all these are all the reasons that my dad and mom growing up as like devout Muslim parents were like, you will not have friends.
Right. Yeah.
There are no friends.
Friends is where
friends equals ideas.
Exactly.
We don't want you to have ideas. Did you? So you didn't go to any ragers?
None. Well, unless you count the sleepover where we watched The Shining and I was the only one that stayed up. Rager.
Wow. What, like everyone was asleep?
Yeah. Because everyone falls asleep during that movie and then like wakes up to all the blood.
Right.
That's usually like, how that goes.
What's going on in that elevator?
But I was like, I will not sleep. I will see this the whole way through.
I barely get out of the house. I'm going to enjoy every moment of
this. Let's talk about Little Caesars, you guys, because they've been in the news for a couple reasons lately.
Oh. Yeah. Well, so, first, yeah, on Twitter.
First, they had a very unfortunate photo op where somebody, a manager of a Little Caesars, was spotted pushing a cart of DiGiorno into the back of the Little Caesars.
Yeah. And
that was not
Shut up.
A good look.
And Little Caesar's account was like, which location is this? And the guy was like, you have to pay me and I'll tell you. But it turns out.
You guys, he's going to get hired to work for this administration. Give it some
time. Oh, you need information that will be beneficial to you? You can pay me for that.
Right.
But apparently someone did a deep dive and found out it was at a Walmart and the coolers like at the Walmart were malfunctioning. So they had to throw out a lot of those DiGiorno pizzas. And what they were trying to do was move that stock out of that of one freezer and move it into another one that was in the back where the like the Little Caesars was.
Oh my God.
So like it wasn't – they weren't serving as we thought in the most twisted capitalistic fantasy that it, you know, they were just serving DiGiorno's out the Little Caesars. That it wasn't
You would
really
know
the
difference between those two also.
Like, this Little is Caesars a DiGiorno is... ad right now.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, we do so many free ads. It's wild. I mean,
Would you know the difference?
Yeah. Would you know? And that's what we tested on today's show. Everyone knows the superior quality of Little Caesars pizza. Now, this story is interesting because, you know, we talk about fast pizza all the time on this show, at least three times a week, I would say, because we're very invested. But there was a Little Caesars location that we found out in Fargo, North Dakota, that was giving away They found that they realized someone was going through their dumpsters like during the when the restaurant was closed, and then the next day they posted a sign that said, "To the person going through our trash for their next meal, you're a human being and worth more than a meal from a dumpster. Please come in during operating hours for a couple of slices of hot pizza and a cup of water, no charge, no questions asked."
That was Little Caesars?
Little Caesars.
I will buy from them forever.
Well, this was a franchise owner in North Dakota. And apparently, since they posted that, they have given away over 142,000 slices of pizza to needy people, which is amazing. But again, I would say this is another story of late-stage capitalism sheathed in a feel-good story where this person is having to pick up the pieces because there are people who are unable to
feed
themselves.
Is our lives right now is what we're talking about. Like, right. People with billions and billions of dollars, and then we're like, thank you for the pizza slice.
Thank you for that little slice, sir.
That is a lot of hungry people.
Yeah. Well, it was over many years, and who knows, you know, if there are a lot of people, they're doing good in the community.
Listen, Trump is going to institute a rations box.
Right, yeah.
And it's going to include a slice.
One slice, and it might be rotten as fuck by the time it gets to you because they're doing it now. But what's interesting, too, is like we were talking about, I don't know if we talked about in this past, but Mike Ilitch, the guy who was the founder of Little Caesars, he was like, he did a lot for the city of Detroit. Some people, you know, they say he was did a lot of land speculation that didn't help. That's true. But another like little known story is that he was like paying Rosa Parks' bills for like a long time, too.
No kidding.
Yeah. And just was sort of like she had moved to Detroit and she had been like robbed at one point, and he's like, let's get her into another apartment. Some people sort of nitpick the story and say like, well, it wasn't for a decade, because most of the stories were like he paid her rent for a decade. Others like it was probably 9 years and with a group of people who paid. But the bottom line is Mike Ilitch, the founder of Little Caesars, did step up to help.
Oh, it wasn't a decade? Then I prefer Papa John.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The man who's really standing up for people of color.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, feel good story. That is really, though, just a late stage capitalism story.
You guys ever had the pizza that tastes like SpaghettiOs sauce is the meat is the like tomato sauce?
Which pizza is that? That's like frozen pizza, I feel like, tastes like that.
Yeah.
That's just like watery red water for pizza sauce.
I just got like really nostalgic for it.
But you can't remember what kind of pizza that was?
No, it was like a box pizza. It was like a frozen one, and it tasted
Red
like
Red Baron?
I think it was Red Baron.
Yeah, because Red Baron was like the tritash pizza that you could get like 5 boxes for a dollar or something, I feel like, at Vaughn's.
It had that like tangy citric acidity, like
we call that umami. You might call that E. coli.
It might taste like you're licking batteries, but in the aftermath, that is what we call umami.
It is actually
here
an umami.
In broke-ass late-stage capitalism America. Zara, it has been so much fun having you.
Likewise.
Where can people follow you?
I'm going to be here every day.
All right. Well, just pull up a chair. To
love having you.
I'm going to be performing this Sunday at the facial recognition show. Yeah, check out my Facebook, facebook.com/ZahraComedian, ZAHRA. Come to the facial recognition show. Everyone on the show is named Zara.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
I know.
That's amazing.
That's crazy. 6 of us. Come see my show on behalf of all Muslims in San Francisco, or follow me at Zara Comedy on Twitter, or find me if you can, if Facebook lets you.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/ZahraComedian.
Okay. All right. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I've been loving all the retweets of my friend Maya Hassan's report.
Oh yeah.
On Muslims in Hollywood dating back 100 years. That's been pretty rad. I've been following that.
Yeah, so go retweet that.
Yeah, go retweet that.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. At Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like is someone took video. I hate to bring up Kanye West again, but someone took video of Kanye in the White House. And at one point he pulled up his phone because he said, I want to show you a GIF of a plane that I'm designing with Apple. It's called the iPlane. He literally said this. And when he pulls up his phone, they zoom in and the dude's like, LMAO, Kanye's iPhone password is 0000000. Because he just does like the wild zero touch. I feel like when you have a password, don't think of a password. Don't just do all ones or all zeros. Give yourself a solid password because, you know, your data is, you know, precious.
Before I talk about a tweet that I've been enjoying, I just want to say shout out to at Alex Schmitty, Schmitty the Clam.
Ooh.
He is, I've been telling you guys, he is a dangerous assassin all along. Dude's super smart, and now he is proving it to the world by fucking dominating Jeopardy. It's crazy. Last
Jeopardy's
three nights.
Still on?
Yeah, Jeopardy's still on, and this dude who I used to work with at Cracked, just very quiet, unassuming, just went out there and has been demolishing people.
It's scary.
It is.
Because I'm like, I've talked to this dude.
Right. Like, what does he know about me?
It feels weird when you meet somebody who has that much knowledge that they don't reveal to you. I mean, he's very intelligent. That was never in doubt. But then you watch him on Jeopardy, like, motherfucker, what has been going on with you?
Yeah. Like, he has glasses. We get it. He's
check
smart.
Check out the brain on Schmitty.
Check out the big brain on the clam. Also, he got a question wrong about clams. And I was like, come on, dog. That's the nickname that I randomly gave you.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, tune into Jeopardy. Watch Alex just assassinate these other. And he also does it. And, like, you could tell he, like, sort of feels a little bit bad for the people whose scores he's doubling. But
what do you mean he feels bad?
I don't know. He's just like last night's was like super embarrassing. He wagered $0 on Final Jeopardy because it was like impossible for him to lose.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a flex.
I know.
If you went negative your whole amount, yeah, that would be the super flex. And then you're like, and I still got the fucking question, like, right.
My joke is that he's a heartless assassin who enters every room he walks into cock first. But the truth is, like, he's such a nice person that I bet, like, part of him feels bad that he's, like, beating people that badly.
Hey, man, you got the knowledge. Why not?
But in an educational way, don't all men walk cock first?
Not really.
Well, not if you have an inverted penis.
Right.
Yeah. That's a thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh.
Or micro penis.
Like my dog.
Well, the thing is, Alex, he has priapisms. So it's very painful.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. At Yay Son tweeted, person, it smells like Updog in here. Me, always too embarrassed to ask questions. Ha ha. Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Literary Hub at Lit Hub. Quote, Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged was published 61 years ago today, and since then has served as an excellent way to weed out potential romantic partners. Love that. And finally, Doug Exeter, quote, super genius voice. The Nazis were left-wing because they had socialist in their name. Also, a nurse shark is actually a nurse. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. And Miles, yeah. What song are we going to ride out on this week?
You know, when I play tracks before and Jack goes, what's that? Yeah, that's how I know it's going in the show. And this is a track by Obi-Wan called Grand Exchange. It's like lo-fi hip-hop. So yeah. If you like people sort of mumbling over lo-fi beats, this is for you. And, you know, I kind of like the production. It's like got like a reversed bass drum in it, some soft clicks in it.
Oh, Obi-Wan, the Iran of the Middle East.
Finally dropped a hot tape.
Continue.
And we're loving it. Featuring Gougouche.
All right, we're going to ride out of this week on that. We'll be back on Monday for more Daily Zeitgeist. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Yo, high black cranium pack, the miscellaneous rides. It's so wet, they got these shorties trying bathing them before they spend forsaking them, nigga. I'm so crusady, new age wave, get it ooh so wavy, yeah. Soon stay this move, oh so atheist like pursues haters, both souls fading them. No gradients, no most cadences, slow so cold, see gold when he made this shit. See goals, me flying up the skylines. I dive in the pool of high rise. The ultimate goal is ascension. Levitate in the altars of Frenchmen. Celebrate in the fall of the Titans. Rap game morph, the wall is exciting. No offense, no defense, it's not needed. boy Ghost, Ghost undefeatable. Heavy torch got the force of tons, tons, hundreds, wonders. In the world, oh so curious, the fury got me that it's like a passing for the Lucifer. Passage from the fury gets the patterns for the mutual. Grasping the actual, the past is usable. The past is usable. The past is usable.
Yeah, whoa. We in the West, like, I got the drink done in multiple sips. I got the zip done in multiple splits. I got the pack done in multiple hits. Run and got it off in multiple trips. I got the money up in multiple flips. Plus, I kept it legit. Divide the bread, you could hold the wine. These words hidden, cause the scroll's divine. This was hell, I'll probably fold your spine. Bend it back till it fracture, just to get a fraction. You more like action, man. AP is about action. Pre-rolls, I was in the cut with like Tamadam. Tight curls, white girls sniffing on Eminem. Flow like Freemason, free basin, screen saving, face Satan, non relation in the basement, try and make it. I just started putting seat up, I'm working on my etiquette. I was on the slow grind, cause surely you like it delicate. Bet sit, numbers throwing deficit. Double up the revenues, I'm coming back for every cent. On the blank, got me feeling henching cunt with the eighth by my nuts. With the feds in the rear view, been had collision, seen a visual with a clear view. Ooh, you weird too. So don't look at me like, what's he doing there?
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.